Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. Carrington Harrison here. Brandon Kiley on the ones and twos to my right, wearing a sweater in 85-degree weather in Kansas City, Missouri. It is the one and only sports machine, Sean Levine. How you doing, my man?
It's about 35 degrees or something like that in here, so the sweater's appropriate. Can you believe it's been 10 years since Michael Jackson died?
It has been a very long time. We got a lot to get into in today's show, as you would imagine. Thank you so much for listening. We'll get into that more coming up in just a little bit. Therese Paylor and Mike Florio have both weighed in on the Tyreek Hill situation. We will get to that coming up in a little bit. We'll also give you a chance to win an MVP golf card in the 2 o'clock hour as well. And we will continue our countdown to find who the 25 most important members of the Kansas City Chiefs are. Yesterday, we did Carlos Hyde. We will tell you who 24 is coming up. But before we get things going, caller number six right now to 913-576-7610. We will give you a chance to win a large 16-inch pizza from the other place. Every day throughout the month of June, right at 2 o'clock, we give away a free large specialty pizza to the other place. All you got to do is three things. Number one, you got to be listening at 2 o'clock and you got to tell one friend. You don't got to tell two friends, just got to tell one. Number two, you got to be caller number six to 913-576-7610. And number three, you got to tell Brandon Kiley that he is an excellent producer. If you do all three of those things, then you got a chance to win a prize. Before we get into sports, yesterday I have received more texts than I've received in a very long time with people wondering what I think.
I can imagine.
This is what I think. I'm only really focused about our show. Like, sometimes that trips people out that I don't really listen to the other station or really other shows on our station. Like, I am solely focused on the two other people that work with me, our boss and the listeners. Like, genuinely, that's all I'm really concerned about. So if you are listening for the first time because of circumstances outside of our control, I genuinely appreciate it. I know that I joke all the time that only five people listen to 2 o'clock. A lot of people make it a choice to listen to our show on a daily basis, despite a bunch of changes that we have on this show. I might be gone tomorrow. You might be gone tomorrow.
Probably.
BK might be gone tomorrow. You guys kind of know how things work over here at 610 Sports. So I am genuinely appreciative for everyone that decides to listen. But man, my focus is on this show. My focus is on making sure that we have the best Chiefs conversation in the city, and that every time you turn on this radio station, you know from 2 to 6 that you will get good, thoughtful, well-planned-out Chiefs conversation, and hopefully we make you laugh in the middle. So I'm not interested in any radio beef. I'm not interested in taking shots at anybody. That just doesn't interest me. So this is the only time I want to talk about it. We can get to sports in a little bit. I'll give you your opportunity to speak. But I'm just not really concerned with much else that doesn't have to do with what's best for 610 Sports Radio from 2 to 6.
Well said. And speaking for myself, and I think I can speak for you when I say this, that there are certain things that are just off topic. There are certain things that we will never talk about. And I feel like one of those things was discussed yesterday. And I'm just going to put it out there right now. That's something you'll never have to worry about with this show. Hopefully we make you laugh. Sometimes we're going to make you cry. Sometimes we're going to piss you off. You're not going to agree with everything we have to say. But I feel like there's a line that you don't have to worry about us crossing, and I'm just going to leave it there.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll get into Therese Paylor and Mike Florio, who both weighed in on the Tyreek Hill meeting. So I was thinking this yesterday as I was keeping up with the NBA. I was not watching the NBA award show yesterday, but I had my eye to it because I was very curious. So Giannis Antetokounmpo, who plays for the Milwaukee Bucks, he won NBA MVP. And it got me thinking about the NFL MVP and Patrick Mahomes. If you watch the NBA or at least follow it casually, I think many people have known that Giannis had the ability to win MVP at like age 21.
Yeah.
Like when you watched his ability, you watched how long he is, you look at the players who he compared to, the things he could do defensively. I think a lot of people looked at Giannis and thought one day he could be the best basketball player in the world. Now, I don't think he's there yet. I think that Kawhi Leonard is currently the best basketball player in the world. But given the fact that he's 24 and just won MVP, man, Giannis can do this for a really long time. And it got me thinking about his game. there's still another ceiling for Giannis. Like, he can get 5% better. He can get 10% better. He can be a better shooter. He can be a better defensive player. He can handle big situations better. Then it got me thinking about Patrick Mahomes and how much we talk about ceiling with Mahomes and throwing for 5,000 yards last season and throwing for 50 touchdowns. There is another ceiling to Mahomes. I know maybe from a number standpoint, it doesn't appear that way. But the same way that Giannis can continue to get better at 24 years old and no one thinks that he has peaked as a basketball player, man, I look at Mahomes as being the exact same way. Last year, maybe from a numbers perspective, was the best that Mahomes can be. But, man, I am terrified to see what Mahomes looks like at 25, at 26, at 27, when he has a greater understanding of the game, when he has more reps. It's going to be a scary proposition for the rest of the NFL.
That was year number one for Patrick Mahomes. That's his first full opportunity, and all he did was throw for 50 touchdowns, 5,000 yards, win league MVP. So for those people that don't think that he can get better, what are you talking about? Almost every quarterback gets better as their career goes along. Now, I agree with you, C-Dot. Statistically, he might not have another season. In fact, I would venture to say he's probably not ever going to have another season where he throws for 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards. That might have been his apex, but he's going to become much better. Statistically, I think the numbers will go down this year because the defense is going to be better, but I think Pat is still going to be a much improved football player in his first, I should say, second full season.
Whatever the 5 or 10% is better for Patrick Mahomes, whether it's reading defenses, whether it's not throwing across his body, whether it's making better decisions on a couple of the interceptions, whatever the ceiling is for Mahomes, I think all of us can agree that he has another one. It's funny when you bring up the numbers a little bit, because I want to play this audio for you. This was Eric Bieniemy. This audio was courtesy of NFL Network. You and I have had a lot of conversation on if we think Mahomes can throw for 5,000 yards again and 50 touchdowns. This would be the argument I think you could make for Mahomes having a better number and stat season than he had this past season.
And people are going to say, can he do more than he did last year? Can he?
I'm going to say this. Last year was unbelievable. Okay, it was a great year. I think when it's all said and done with, regardless of the numbers, at the end of the day, each and every team, the goal is to win the Super Bowl. So I think, if anything, if we win the Super Bowl, that will say a lot.
So this is my argument for why I think the numbers can be a little bit better than they were last season, or why I think the argument can be made. Andy Reid is still in place. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes is still in place. From the last time that we all saw the Kansas City Chiefs play on offense, 9 of those players are returning. The only players that you lost are Mitch Morse, who was hurt 82% of the time, give or take 5%. And Chris Conley, whose best season was less than 600 yards receiving. If you're telling me an offense that went down as the 4th best offense in the history of the NFL can return 9 of 11 offensive starters, and you replace Chris Conley with a 2nd-round draft pick in Mecole Hardman, that kind of continuity, keeping all those pieces in place, would certainly be the argument for this Chiefs offense being better this upcoming season than they were last year, which seems like a really hard proposition.
But their defense is going to be better, so their offense isn't going to have to be as good. Wouldn't you say most of the reason that the Chiefs went 12-4 last year and the biggest reason why Pat threw for 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards was because he had to? I mean, the Chiefs had a game where they scored 40 points and lost. Hell, the Chiefs had a game where they scored 50 points and lost. I don't think they're going to find themselves in those situations this year. So while Pat might be better, I certainly expect his numbers to go down because they're not going to need to be as good.
Yeah, no, they're not going to need to have pedal to the metal and be as aggressive offensively as they were last season. I was just thinking about the continuity, and I remember having this conversation with J.C. Pearson, who played in the NFL, and he told me that the biggest jump a player takes is from his first year to his second year. After playing that first year, after having an offseason to watch your own film and see, that's when you develop the most. I mean, the biggest jump we could see from Mahomes on a personal level could be, this is what I did wrong in the first half against the Patriots the last two times. This is what I did wrong in the first half against the Broncos. These are the mistakes that I made. And Andy Reid, instead of seeing Alex Smith's mistakes, seeing your own mistakes and having the ability to watch that film, scout, and improve, and knowing the things that, hey, I did this last season really well and it worked. These were the things I need to work on. The biggest improvement we could see from Patrick Mahomes from a year-to-year basis could be from what he did last season, now finally having a full year of experience, knowing what that grind's like, knowing what you need to do physically, mentally to get your body ready to play at the highest level, and now having a second chance to come back and do it with almost the exact same team.
I think Pat's going to be judged on how much better does he make the players around him. Because last year, Travis Kelce had a career year, but he was already a damn good football player. Last year, Tyreek Hill had a career year, with 1,300 and change receiving yards, but he was already a top 10 wide receiver. What happens this year when you don't have Kareem Hunt? What happens this year when you don't have Tyreek Hill? Can he make average players significantly better? Can you make Sammy Watkins a 1,200-yard wide receiver? Can you make a rookie in Mecole Hardman an 800, 900-yard reception type of guy? That's how I think we're going to find out how much better Pat was. That and how many more games does he win this year? Not during the regular season. I think we would all take the repeat of 12 wins, home field advantage at Arrowhead Stadium, but in the playoffs. How much further does he take this team this year than he did a season ago?
Coming up in about 20 minutes, today is the 10th anniversary of something that has nothing to do with Michael Jackson. We'll get into that coming up in about 20 minutes. We'll also give you a chance to win an MVP golf card. If you're unaware what an MVP golf card is, well, let me tell you. The MVP golf card allows you to save big on rounds of golf in the Kansas City metro area. Courses like Adams Point, Heart of America Golf Academy, Swope Memorial, Minor Park, and Sycamore Ridge. So if you want to get that for free, just keep it locked in right here on 610 Sports Radio. Coming up in just a little bit, Therese Paylor of Yahoo Sports and Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk both weigh in on Tyreek Hill's meeting with the NFL on Wednesday. So will we. Coming up is The Drive.
The Drive, 610 Sports Radio.
Back in on The Drive, today is actually the 10-year anniversary of the first ESPN 30 for 30. We will talk about the groundbreaking sports documentary series coming up in about 15 minutes. They have certainly had a lot of great ones. We'll get into that coming up in about 15 minutes. We'll also give you a chance to win a prize in our pop quiz. If you've never heard the pop quiz before, the pop quiz is very simple. We play a movie clip. If you can identify the movie clip, you win a prize. Today's prize is an MVP golf card. We will do that coming up in the 2 o'clock hour. So we've got two important people in the NFL circles. Number one is Therese Paylor of Yahoo Sports. The other one is Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk. Let's start with Therese Paylor. Here's what he had to say on Tyreek Hill, and there being some optimism coming from Chiefs camp.
I do think there's optimism that he can get out of this with a small suspension or none. As a natural, as a reporter, I have to be cynical. The story, like the audio, even in context, wasn't like a great look.
Right.
So I think the league's going to do something just to appease, like, kind of the bloodthirst. You know, Goodell's done that. The NFL's done that. People want to see headline with Tyreek Hill's been suspended by the NFL. So my guess is 2 to 4 game suspension. NFLPA would be like, yeah, no. You know, here's evidence. Like, that's bogus. And then it gets knocked down, you know. But like you said, that's just a guess. And B, the NFL can do what it wants.
Okay, so let's go into this segment from Therese Paylor, who was on Fesco in the Morning earlier today. I do agree with this part. There will be no criticism from NFL circles if Tyreek Hill gets some suspension. Now, Chiefs fans may be upset. Now, maybe a portion of Chiefs fans that will be upset and say, hey, how can you do this? He didn't get charged with a crime. How can you suspend one of our guys? But no one outside of the 816, 913, or 785 can hear that audio, see the headline that the NFL suspends Tyreek Hill for 2 or 4 games and think, nah, he doesn't deserve it. That I do think optics play, especially given the NFL's track record with how they've handled domestic violence, how they've handled issues regarding NFL players and women. I think that's part of it, too. Like, part of it has to be setting the standard and the optics of how it looks to the rest of the league. You can't suspend Jameis Winston. You can't suspend Ezekiel Elliott. You can't suspend Jimmy Smith. And then when now Tyreek Hill has an issue, say he doesn't deserve a suspension. I think that factors in as much as anything.
I think some of the public might actually feel the exact opposite, feel the vice versa, that if there's a 2-game suspension, that won't be enough. Based on this guy had trouble coming before he was ever a Chief, and then he got in trouble again, and then everybody's heard the comments. It's different if you were just reading it or somebody was telling you about it. Obviously, there's not video like there was for Kareem Hunt or Ray Rice, but there is audio. And when you hear, you should be terrified of me too, B. I think there's a lot of people, not necessarily Chiefs fans, I think most Chiefs fans go, don't suspend him at all. He's a really good football player if you do suspend him 2 games. I think the public might go, 2 games for that? That's not enough.
I could just see it being a 4-game suspension. We see this happen all the time. A 4-game suspension happens, the player then appeals it, and then it gets knocked down anyway. I'm with you, and maybe this is a weird analogy, so I apologize on the front of it. It kind of feels like then if you're complaining about tomorrow the NFL says it's a 2-game suspension, or they say it's a 4-game suspension. That's like the difference like a 7 seed in the NCAA tournament and a 10 seed. I'm with you. Maybe that team should have been a 7 seed, but I don't think NFL fans, I don't think that's a conversation that they're having for a very long time. I'm with you. Maybe there is a 1-day conversation about did Tyreek Hill get the 4-game suspension or deserve the 4-game suspension. It's a longer conversation if Tyreek Hill gets a zero game suspension
Absolutely.
Around the NFL.
Yeah, but we agree that that's not going to happen. I was a little bit surprised to hear Therese say, bring up the zero. That ship has sailed, right? There's no way he doesn't get suspended for what he's already done. He's going to get some sort of a suspension. I think it could be as few as two games, but he's not going to get zero.
BK, let me ask you this really quickly, because Therese talked about optimism from Chiefs camp, and we'll play the other thing that Therese has to say. Do we think the optimism is that he won't be suspended at all, or do we think that the optimism is the NFL is leaning more towards a two-game suspension or a four-game suspension?
I think the optimism is based on where they were, let's say 2 months ago, and where they are today. They feel a hell of a lot more optimistic about the fact that Tyreek Hill is going to be on the team. He's going to play for the Kansas City Chiefs this season, and it's going to be for more games than they originally anticipated. I think it's based on where they were previously and where they are today. I think previously there was a legitimate question as to whether or not Tyreek Hill was going to play for the Chiefs ever again. And then you get to the place of, okay, he's going to play for the Chiefs again. It's a matter of when and for how many games this year probably. And now we've arrived at a place where CDOT can legitimately come on the air and reasonably say it's possible, it's within the realm of possibility, that Tyreek Hill could play up to 14 games for the Chiefs this year. So I think that's where the optimism comes from.
I think
from.
The optimism is just because CDOT, the process is moving along. We didn't know this time 2 weeks ago, 2 months ago, what was going to go on. We didn't know if this was going to be drug out. We didn't know if he was going to end up on the commissioner's exempt list. That's where I think the optimism from Chiefs fans comes from. For better or worse, at least we're finding out information where the team can move forward.
I want to play this for you. This is Therese Paylor and what he had to say on Yahoo, or excuse me, Therese works at Yahoo Sports. He said this on Fesco in the morning. This is what he said, because I do think this factors in. We are trying to predict the NFL's actions regarding suspension, which is a very dangerous proposition.
The bottom line, though, Bob, like, listen, man, like, the NFL can do whatever it wants, right? Like, we know that.
Right,
like,
right.
Goodell's like, yo, you made us look bad six games.
Right.
Or they could be like, lay out a defense in the letter. We're questioning you about it. Your story's rock solid. You have corroborating evidence. Here's some proof. Ooh, looks like we believe you. Okay, what are we going to do? Oh, well, there's the menacing threat on the tape.
Right.
Four games.
And that kind of goes in line with what Mike Florio had to say of Pro Football Talk. Quote, it's hard to imagine the NFL not punishing Tyreek's comments. Given Hill's past conduct and the NFL's decision in 2018 to suspend Ravens cornerback Jimmy Smith for making threats and engaging in emotional abuse with respect to the mother of his child, that's where I think this Tyreek Hill thing is headed. I've been over the conversation regarding the child abuse, because I don't think anyone listening to this conversation can say definitively whether Tyreek Hill broke his child's arm or not.
That and the criminal case has been closed.
I don't know if Crystal broke their child's arm or not. I have absolutely no clue what happened to their child's arm. But I do know, based on past examples and instances of things that have happened in the NFL, when players have conducted themselves in a similar manner to what Tyreek Hill has conducted himself, they get suspended. Now, it could be a two-game suspension, it could be a four-game suspension, it could be a six-game suspension, but it's certainly not a zero-game suspension. Something is going to happen to Tyreek Hill at some point. I do want to make this really quickly. I know we're up against the break soon, BK. I think it's in Tyreek Hill's best interest to not appeal whatever ruling they come down with. I think whatever the ruling is in the next 2-3 weeks, whenever that happens, we agree, we'll see a tweet from Adam Schefter or Ian Rappaport that says, Chiefs wide receiver Tyreek Hill will be suspended X for conduct detrimental to the league.
Yeah, and how can you say that before we find out if it's 8, 6, 4, 2, nothing?
I don't think it's going to be 8. I'd be stunned at this point if it's 8.
Yeah, me too, but how can you definitively say that he shouldn't appeal, not knowing if it's going to be 6 or 4 or what the number is?
I think the best thing in public interest after finding out what the suspension is to release a statement from your lawyer, take full responsibility, keep your head down, and eat the suspension. I think that's the best play for Tyreek Hill. The best play for Tyreek Hill is if they come out and say it is a six-game suspension, maybe you're upset about it, maybe you get it knocked down, instead of fighting it, take full responsibility for it and just try to move on with the rest of it, and let's just try to end this charade. I think that's operating in the best interest for Tyreek Hill in terms of moving forward and showing some accountability for your actions. I mean, you said it. That's the hard part. You can't say you were taken out of context. You can't dance around any of that. It's not like we read it. We all heard what Tyreek Hill had to say. I think showing responsibility and accepting the punishment from the NFL is the best thing he can do moving forward.
The only way it's 6 games, the only way that I can see it being 6 games, I'm leaning toward 2 at this point, because it's not going to be for child abuse. It's going to be for conduct detrimental to the team, which is basically you should be terrified of me too, B. So it's going to be for verbal abuse, which to me is 2 games in a 16-game schedule. The only way that it's 6 games, C-Dot, is if the NFL decides to set an example out of this guy. And it wouldn't shock me. A guy that had trouble before he was ever a Chief, then he got in trouble again, then you've got this on audio tape. Unless the NFL goes, we're going to throw the book at you, I think it's going to be two games.
I think it's incredibly likely that it's four, honestly. I think it's incredibly likely. I think if you use the parameters of what happened to Jimmy Smith, I think four is likely. I wouldn't be stunned by two. I would be a little bit surprised at six, where I would say if it's six, that will be weighting a lot more of what happened in Tyreek Hill's past than this. In essence, we are talking about suspending Tyreek Hill for one sentence on an audio tape.
No, the pass is absolutely going to factor.
Agreed. But I'm saying is if he gets six, I think it is way more weighted in, well, we didn't suspend you coming into the league, so now we're going to give you that extra two or three games that we shouldn't have given you because of your past. Where if it's four, I think it's way more based on the you can't conduct yourself this way as an NFL player, so we got a dingy for the four.
I think they're all still in play. I think it could be two. I think it could be four. I will be surprised if it's six. I'm leaning toward two or four, but I think it's going to be two because it's not for the abuse. It's for the verbal abuse.
Coming up in about 20 minutes, we'll give you a chance to win an MVP golf card, so you can get two free rounds of golf at five courses around Kansas City. But first, today is the 10-year anniversary of ESPN's 30 for 30s. We'll go through our favorites and our least favorites coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
Back in on The Drive, Carrington here, Kylie here, Sports Machine here, taking you up until 5 o'clock. We are off early today because of the Kansas City Royals. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we will give you a chance to win a prize in our pop quiz brought to you by Victory Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. The prize today is an MVP golf car. We'll also all take a minute, brought to you by Airport Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, all the car companies supporting The Drive. So today is the 10-year anniversary of the passing of Michael Jackson. We'll get to that coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. Today is also the 10-year anniversary of ESPN's 30 for 30 series. Now, they plan on only doing 30 of these things. They've done like 57 of these things. So what we are going to do is we're going to do Tinder Tuesday a little bit differently. Brandon Kylie is going to throw out a 30 for 30. We will swipe right if we like it. We will swipe left if we don't like it. BK, take it away.
Time for Tinder Tuesday on The Drive. Swipe right if you like it. Swipe left if you don't. Tinder Tuesday on The Drive.
All right, fellas, let's start with one of the first 30 for 30s. It was the U documenting the first run that the University of Miami had. You swiping right or left on the U? Swipe right if you like it. Swipe left if you don't.
Oh, I'm swiping firmly to the right. It was one of the first. It was one of the best. Warren Sapp, Ed Reed, Sean Taylor, Edgerrin James, Jeremy Shockey, the U. See, I'm swiping to the right.
The U was so good, they gave it a sequel. Think of these. How many of these 30 for 30s have a sequel attached to them? You could argue the U's a top five one up there.
The OJ one had like 15 sequels to it.
Yeah, that one, I'd put the OJ one in a completely different category. Like, that's like a mini series. That's a 10-hour documentary. The U was so popular that they decided to go back. And the U, I mean, there's two different time frames of the U. You're right. There's the Warren Sapp, Michael Irvin U, and then there's the Jeremy Shockey, Ed Reed U. Those are two completely different time frames. So you had to tell two documentaries to swipe the story, to tell the story. I'm swiping right on this one, too. I think that's probably a top five one that they've created.
Another one of the originals, Reggie Miller versus the Knicks. It was about the impact that Reggie Miller and the Knicks, that rivalry had in the 90s. C-Dot, you swipe in to the right or to the left on Reggie Miller versus the New York Knicks.
This is one of the weaker ones.
Really?
One of the weaker 30 for 30. Not a bad 30 for 30. Winning Time is just one of the weaker 30 for 30s of the original batch. I got to swipe to the left.
I'm swiping to the right. The Knicks have been bad for so long. And is there a more famous sports fan ever than Spike Lee? I'm swiping firmly to the right.
I would say Jack Nicholson.
Yeah, good call.
Those are probably the two.
I'd say they're on par with each other when it comes to famous fans.
Yeah, I'm with you. No, they're certainly on the top. Ashley Judd, is she getting a reasonable? Is she getting?
She's not up there.
She getting an honorable
not
mention.
Quite. Not quite.
And she's
not just
more
yet.
Kentucky than she is NBA.
No, yeah, you're right. No, he was just saying sports fans. No, I'm with you.
Let's go to the third one here. The Allen Iverson trial, the no crossover, the trial of Allen Iverson. It was the 10th in the series. It was about the 1993 trial for AI when he was a high school athlete. C-Dot, you swiping to the right or to the left on the no crosser, the crossover, the trial of Allen Iverson, 34-30.
I hate to do it because I think that Allen Iverson is one of the more influential athletes of the 21st century. This one should have been 30 minutes, maybe an hour. They tried to squeeze the full 90 out of this one. That story's just not that entertaining. I thought it dragged a little bit. Again, love Iverson. I think he has a very interesting story. I just don't think this one did a good job telling the story. I'm swiping left.
Practice, BK? We're talking about practice? They could have done so many other documentaries about Allen Iverson than choosing to cover his trial. I'm swiping to the left.
The next one is one of my personal favorites. It's Run, Ricky, Run, about Ricky Williams when he decided to walk away from the NFL back in 2004. C-Dot, Run, Ricky, Run. You swiping to the right or to the left?
Another one I got to give the left swipe.
Really?
Another one I got to give. Ricky Williams' marijuana issues are not a very fun thing to watch for a long period of time. They've done some hits with the 30 for 30 series. Hopefully we get to some of these hits. This is a skip. This is a miss. This is not a good. No one talks about the Run Ricky Run documentary. Whenever you're having a conversation about this series, you're like, man, you seen that Ricky Williams one? No, because it was trash.
I talk about it, and I could continuously watch Ricky Williams smoke or talk about weed for probably 2 hours. Surprise, surprise.
I thought it was fascinating.
He utters at one point, I would rather smoke weed than play football in the NFL. Think about that. He says he would rather smoke weed than play football in the NFL.
Oh, we like saw.
All
we
the know. Other ones, I'm still swiping to the right.
Next one up for you guys, sticking with the original series and the 30 for 30, The Two Escobars. This is, in terms of critically acclaimed, I think you can argue this is at the top of the list outside of the OJ Made in America. The Two Escobars, C-Dot. You swipe into the right or to the left?
I'm going to give this one a super like. I actually think The Two Escobars, aside from the OJ one, which I think you have to put in a different category because of the length of it, The Two Escobars is the best ESPN 30 for 30. It's the only one that feels like a movie and not a sports documentary. Like, I love Pony Excess. That feels like a sports documentary. I love The Best That Never Was. That one feels like a sports documentary. The Two Escobars is a movie. Incredibly well done. I'm giving that one the super like.
Then I have to rewatch it because, to be honest with you, I was like six tequila sunrises down when I saw The Two Escobars. I don't remember a thing about it. So, unfortunately, I got to swipe to the left.
The next one up for you guys is One Night in Vegas. This is the one where it's talking about Mike Tyson and Tupac, the night that Tupac was murdered in Las Vegas.
This is where C-Doc gives us his theory on how in the hell did they not catch the guy who murdered Tupac on the strip in Las Vegas.
You swipe to the right if you like it, left if you don't.
I mean, you guys want my take on that? I mean, I can give you my take on that. I can give you my take on that. And now, hold on. Now seeing how quickly they solved the David Ortiz shooting and the Nipsey Hussle shooting, it makes me even more suspicious about this. If you've ever been to Las Vegas, think about it. There was a drive-by on the Las Vegas Strip. No leads, no arrests.
Told you.
No nothing. Makes absolutely no sense. This one stinks. This is a bottom five 30 for 30. Bottom five 30 for 30. Hard left. Hard pass for me on this one.
Every time I go to Vegas, you guys know this, I stop by where Tupac got shot. I don't know why I'm a little bit morbid like that, but I agree with you. They could have done better with the story. It's such an interesting story that they didn't make that interesting. I'm swiping to the left.
Next one up for you guys is The Best That Never Was. C-Dot mentioned this briefly a moment ago. It's one of my personal favorites as well. Talking about Marcus Dupree, one of the best high school players ever, who ended up becoming very little when it came to later on in his career. C-Dot, The Best That Never Was. You go into the right or to the left?
I'm swiping right on this one. I think this is a top 10. I wouldn't have it in my top five. I really liked it. And I think the beauty of the 30 for 30 series is they highlight a lot of stories that maybe the older viewers know, but the younger viewers, like, I didn't know a whole lot about Marcus Dupree, that it was really fun for the hour 15 minutes that this documentary was to learn a lot about his story and to hear him talked about like he was Earl Campbell or Eric Dickerson, and then know what those two players turned into, but know his career wasn't the same, and then see where he was now. I thought it was a really, really good documentary. That's one of the crown jewels of the series.
As somebody that grew up wearing rec specs, you guys familiar with rec specs? If you've got bad vision, people know what I'm talking about. I grew up wearing rec specs. So did Marcus
really?
Dupree. Yes, I did, unfortunately. So he did also. So I'm swiping to the right.
He's got some on right now. What are you talking about?
These aren't rec specs, bro. These are just glasses. Right now. I don't wear rec specs to do the radio show.
You got the same glasses that dude. You got the same glasses that dude had on from a rookie of the year. The same one that was like his mentor. You got those same glasses.
Yeah, these
he
are
had
the
on.
Henry Rodengartner version.
Yeah, that's what you're wearing right now.
I had no idea you wore rec specs.
Yeah, okay. Now you know.
It explains so
nothing
much.
About Sean would surprise me. Like, there's no story he could say, like, nah, that didn't happen.
I told you guys I intentionally dipped my hand in 425-degree grease one time just to get out of a date.
No, you're right.
That happened. We are continuing on a Tinder Tuesday here on The Drive. It is the 10-year anniversary of the 30 for 30 series. Let's start. We are now on to season 2. The Fab Five was one of the bigger ones that the 30 for 30 series did. It got a lot of critical acclaim. C-Dot, what'd you think? The Fab Five documentary by 30 for 30.
I'm giving this one a super like as well. I think this was a really strong documentary, kind of in that same context of the best that ever was. Now, they actually did something, but going more into detail about their story, and you think about the early 90s, there were some very influential college basketball teams, whether it was UNLV, whether it was Duke with Bobby Hurley and Grant Hill. This is one of those very influential that you want to talk about going with one-and-done freshmen, playing a more high-tempo, fast-paced, full-court style of basketball. The Fab Five got their roses. I appreciate it. It was a really good documentary. I'm giving that the heart.
You know Tinder only gets you one super swipe, and then you have to pay for it, right?
Yeah, you got. I mean, you
he's paying for this. It's worth it.
Gotta pay that.
Oh, you paid the money?
Gotta pay that $199.
Okay, you paid the $199. Good for you. I'm too cheap for that.
I got the trial version. I got the one. I got the 7 week trial. You got it. You got to get the trial.
About.
The
five.
One where you always forget to pay, that you forget to cancel, and you're like, shoot.
6 months
later. I
gotta
pay that now. $99.99 all of a sudden for Tinder.
You know that Amazon Prime, they actually give you 48 hours. So let's say that you sign up for the trial of Amazon Prime. And then they hit you for that full 100.
Oh, yeah.
You get 48 hours to cancel it because all of us have forgot about that Amazon Prime. And then you magically see 120 come out of your account.
What the hell?
And you're sitting there trying to count on your fingers and toes where this money come from. I'm like, hold on.
I just did that with Postmates 2 weeks ago.
Sitting there like, hold on. I know I had this money and now it's gone. The Amazon Prime, they'll give you 48 hours.
Fab Five was an interesting story in and of itself, and I think ESPN did a great job of telling it. I'm not going to super swipe it, but I am swiping to the right on the Fab Five.
Last one we've got for you here on a Tinder Tuesday on The Drive. There is no place like home. It is the one about KU, the Naismith rules. What'd you think of this one, C-Dot? You swiping right or left on the No Place Like Home documentary?
Let me get on this one first because they're just going to call you a hater. That one sucked. I'm a KU guy. That's my school. My parents went there. I went there. I lived in Lawrence up until last year. That documentary sucked. They could have done so many other stories on KU. They could have gone down Mass Street. They could have talked about Final Fours. They could have gone out a night with Sharon Collins and figured out what that was like, which would be pretty entertaining. Instead, they chose to tell us about the rules of basketball. That one sucked.
This is a E60, or this is a 30 for 30 that just should have been an E60. The most interesting part was the actually bidding for the rules. Now, that part was incredible. Like, when they showed David Booth and his wife was sitting there right next to him, and he said, basically, I'm not losing. Like, I can't imagine you go into an auction.
But that was the whole documentary, is one guy begging another guy for, like, $7 million. That was the whole thing.
Yeah, I saw the documentary. I'm saying is what was crazy about this documentary was David Booth is sitting there, and he says, I am not losing this. And it didn't matter if it was $4.5 or $6 million. He was not going to get up from that table or leave that conference call until he had secured. Like, I just can't imagine having that kind of money. Like, I can't imagine going into an auction and saying, I don't care the price. I'm not leaving without it. All of us have money, or it will get to a certain price in which you feel uncomfortable, and you got to throw your hands up and be like, nah, I'm good. Like, I just appreciate that kind of boss move. Like, that's a boss move. We also got to have a conversation on why the rules of basketball are in a hallway. Like, no one has ever been able to explain to me why the rules of basketball. Because I went the first
time. It's a very nice hallway. They literally built the hallway around the rules of basketball if you haven't been there.
It's a hallway.
It's a nice hallway.
No, it should be.
It's a hell of a hallway.
The rules of basketball are there. When I first went there, because I've been to D.C. to see the Hope Diamond. It's on its own floor. There's nothing else on the floor with the Hope Diamond. It's in its own room. They let you know we have the coolest piece of jewelry in the world right here. So when I went to KU to Guy on Fieldhouse, I'm thinking, man, I want to see the rules of basketball. I thought it was going to be in its own little wing, and you go in there, and it's all this great KU memorabilia, and then there go the rules. I thought people were in line for the bathroom the first time I went there. I thought people were going to the bathroom. And then I was like, oh, that must be where the rules are. And no one has ever been able to answer to me. I'm serious. No one has ever been able to answer why the rules of basketball are in a hallway 30 feet away from a rally house. Like, no one can ever explain. It makes no sense why that's the case. That's all I want. Text line 69306. Tell me why the rules of basketball are in a hallway next to a rally house. I'll give you Royals tickets from now until the end of the season if you can explain that to me. Coming up in a little bit, we will all take a minute. Plus, we'll give you a chance to win an MVP golf cart. That's coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
Well, let's go. Let's go. Let's go.
Give me a minute.
You are officially on the clock.
Back in on The Drive, coming up in about 5 minutes, we'll get to a Levine's List. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll give you a chance to win a prize on our pop quiz. If you've never heard the pop quiz, first off, We appreciate you listening. If today is the first time that you are listening to the show, we're here all the time.
Welcome.
From 2 to 6. And I'm kind of fond of this show, so I would advise you listen to it more often.
It's all right.
You know a really good show?
What?
The Lead Off. Man, we've got this show on Saturday morning.
That's a radio show.
From 10 a.m. to 12 p.m.
And the host looks like a young Jordy Nelson, if I may say so myself.
Oh, my goodness. The Lead Off might be the best show on radio.
I don't know about that, but it's
they
good.
Might get us out of the way for the Lead Off.
They might.
You know what I mean? They might get us out of the way. So coming up in a little bit, we'll get to a Levine's List. We'll give you a chance to win a prize in our pop quiz, and we will get back into the Tyreek Hill pending suspension, possible suspension. I don't know how you want to put it. So this is what we're going to do. All three of us are going to make the case for either a 2-game suspension, a 4-game suspension, or a 6-game suspension. We'll do that coming up at 3 o'clock. But first, we will all take a minute, brought to you by Airport Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. BK, hit me. I'm going to give my minute to the game of basketball in the NBA. And yesterday, oddly enough, the NBA season for 2018 to 2019 has officially concluded itself because we now know who won NBA MVP. Now, this isn't about the current day NBA. I think we finally saw the dream fulfilled from the Dream Team. I don't think the Dream Team was just putting pro basketball players onto the Olympic team. I think it was the growth and evolution of basketball. Think about what happened yesterday in the NBA. The MVP of the league is a foreign player. The rookie of the year is a foreign player. And the most improved player is foreign. If you want to talk about the growth and evolution of basketball, look no further than the Dream Team. I think it introduced basketball in markets that it would have maybe taken another 20 or 25 years, and it just accelerated the process. If you look at the NBA, it is a much better product because of the globalization of the game, and I think you can attribute that to the Dream Team. That is my minute for the day.
And the NBA champion is the Toronto Raptors. BK, give me a minute. So this article came out a couple of days ago, but it's been frustrating me. There's no way this can be accurate. So this is from NFL.com's Gil Brandt. He listed his 10 most talented teams in the NFL heading into 2019. Here's his list. In a couple of minutes, I'll get you my Levine's List. He's got the Colts at number 10. No problem there. Followed by the Browns at number 9. The Saints at number 8. I don't know who's number 7. Oh, that would be the Chiefs. Number 6, the Chargers. Number 5, the Patriots. Number 4, the Rams. Number 3, the Bears. Number 2, the Cowboys. Number 1, the Eagles. My problem isn't that there's one or two or three teams ahead of the Chiefs. It's who the teams are. Do either of you guys think that the Philadelphia Eagles are a more talented team than the Kansas City Chiefs? Do either of you guys think that the Dallas Cowboys or the Chicago Bears or even the Patriots are a more talented team than the Kansas City Chiefs? The only argument that I will hear, the Chargers, the Rams, and the Saints, and that's it. What a ridiculous article to have the Chiefs as the 7th most talented team heading into the 2019 season. I know it's not all about talent. The Patriots have never been the most talented team, but nobody can tell me the Chiefs aren't one of the 3 most talented teams in the NFL.
For my minute today, I'd like to take a little bit of time to talk about one Whit Merrifield, because he did this last night.
And the 1-0 swung on, hit in the air to left field and deep. Freeman is back. He's at the track. He turns, and it's gone. Whit Merrifield hits his 11th home run of the year. He got it just over the railing above that. And the Royals' first hit is a home run and a 1-0 lead in the 4th.
Whit Merrifield once again leads the MLB in hits this season. He's the first MLB player so far in the 2019 season to reach 100 hits. He did so last night. He's got the potential to lead the MLB in hits 2 straight years. He was the first Royal last year to lead the MLB in hits since 1980 when Willie Wilson did it with a club record 230 hits. You have to go back to George Brett to get the last guy that led the league twice in hits in 2 straight years. C-Dot, Sean Levine, I think we have understated how impressive it is what Whit Merrifield is doing for the Royals this year and last. Had this team been in contention, we'd be talking about Whit Merrifield as one of the best hitters in the history of the Royals franchise. Instead, we're talking about him as just a solid player, a good player who could potentially make his first All-Star game this year.
Not me, buddy. I've been underrating him. Maybe you have. Maybe C-Dot has. Maybe the public has. All I've come on this radio station has said that if Whit played in a different market, now I get it, he probably wouldn't actually be a superstar because he's a utility player who is a really good hitter. He wouldn't be a superstar, but C-Dot, if he played in a different market, Whit would be a much bigger star than he ever could be in Kansas City.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone's ever disagreed with that with you. I think that Whit Merrifield's one of the best baseball players in the world. It's just, if you play on a team that, A, is in a small market, and you're 30 games under 500, it's very difficult for you to be a star. It's just incredibly difficult for that to be the case if your team never plays in meaningful games Coming up in a little bit, we'll give you a chance in the pop quiz to win an MVP golf cart. All you got to do is keep it locked in. But we do this every day because Sean Levine, he loves a lot of things. He loves taking ladies out on very expensive meals.
Oh, don't I?
He is a foodie call, as they call him out here. But the one thing he loves most is making and compiling random lists. Let's get to a Levine's list.
I've got a top five and I've got a top 10 list for you today based on Michael Jackson's death. And a couple days ago, I gave you my top 10 best running backs. Today, I've got my top 10 best wide receivers. Just quickly, do you guys have a favorite Michael Jackson song? Do you remember?
Rock With You.
Oh, I didn't see that coming. BK, you're a man of the mirror guy, aren't you? Beat It?
Probably Beat It.
Beat It's maybe in my Billie top Jean. Five. Remember the Time Makes It. Rock With You. Man in the Mirror. Billie Jean. Got to go with number one. Billie Jean. We'll get more into Michael Jackson as the show rolls on. But today's top 10 list, Levine's list, to be more specific, the best pass catchers in the NFL based off of Tyreek Hill. We don't know how long he's going to be suspended for. We'll talk about that coming up at the top of the 3 o'clock hour. Here we go. 10 through 1. Number 10.
Are you including Tyreek Hill in this? I just want to understand.
You'll find out momentarily.
Okay, my bad. I apologize.
Number 10. I'm letting the drama build here.
Yo, see what
I'm
doing? I apologize.
Number 10, Mike Evans. Number 9, Travis Kelce. Number 8, A.J. Green. Number 7, Devontae Adams. Number 6, just outside the top 5. This was tough. Antonio Brown. Here's my top 5. Best pass catchers in the NFL heading into 2019. Number 5, the aforementioned Tyreek Hill. I think when the Chiefs drafted him, he was this glorified punt and kickoff returner. By year 2, we were thought of, oh man, maybe he's a top 10 wide receiver. Last year really came into his own. I think if he can play 14 games or so, which I expect him to, he's going to be a top 5 wide receiver in 2019. Number 4, Juju. Number 3, Julio Jones. Number 2, Odell Beckham Jr. And to me, the best wide receiver in football, DeAndre Hopkins. So I left off Keenan Allen, George Kittle. I thought about putting T.Y. Hilton on the list.
Did you have Michael Thomas on that list?
No, I didn't have Michael Thomas on the list. I probably should have.
No, there's no probably should have. He should have been on the list.
But who am I kicking off? A.J. Green?
Absolute.
Mike Evans?
Without question.
You had Juju Smith-Schuster in the top 5?
Look at his stats last year and how young he is. I think he's going to have a top 5 statistical season this year.
You had Devontae Adams around 8, right?
He was number 7, yeah.
Okay.
Juju in the top 5 is wild right now. It's wild.
The top fantasy receiver heading in ESPN leagues is Devontae Adams. Go figure.
It's crazy to me that you have Juju in the top 5 and Michael Thomas didn't make the list. That's crazy.
That's egregious that I left Michael Thomas.
Okay, I'm just pointing out that you can say that. And I like Juju Smith-Schuster. I don't want anyone to think I don't like Juju. He's just never done it as a one that I'm going to hold a little bit of reservation. It's one thing when you have Antonio Brown on the other side getting majority of the coverage. It's a different beast when now you got to be that team's number one. I expect him to have a good season. I just wouldn't put him now in the top 5 given that.
Who's a better aspect. Wide receiver right now in 2019, Antonio Brown or Juju Smith-Schuster?
Antonio Brown.
Antonio Brown.
Really?
Yeah, Antonio Brown.
I think Antonio Brown's getting a little bit old, and Juju Smith-Schuster's coming into his own. I also left.
They just
boy.
Played on the same team last year, and Antonio Brown was better than him.
I don't know if he was. Season. I don't think he was. I think that last year Juju Smith-Schuster was better.
Statistically, Juju was a little bit better, but Antonio Brown had 15 touchdowns, man. 15. That's amazing.
No, that counts. League in touchdowns.
How do
that
I
counts.
Say the wide receiver for the Minnesota Vikings' last name?
Adam Thielen.
Thielen. I barely left him off the list too.
Yeah,
what's
no,
the hitter that plays for the? Angels used to play for the Cardinals.
How do you say Pujols.
It? Pujols.
Is that right. You say his Pujols. Name. Coming up in a little bit, we'll give you a chance to win a prize, and we'll get back into the Tyreek Hill story. But first, pop quiz.
Stand by. Going to air. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Exciting quiz program.
Pop quiz.
I'm sorry, but all questions must be submitted in writing.
The pop quiz is presented by Victory Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. The pop quiz is very simple. We play a movie clip. You guess the movie. If you know it, you win a prize. The prize is an MVP golf card. The MVP golf card allows you to save big on rounds of golf in the Kansas City metro area. Courses like Adams Point, Heart of America Golf Academy, Swope Memorial, Minor Park, and Sycamore Ridge. For just $99, you get 2 rounds of golf at each of your 5 local courses. That's a $340 value. Get yours right now at MVPGolfKC.com. But forget $99. You got a chance to get one for the price of on the house. Today's pop quiz is a movie. Hit it.
Are you Annie? Yes.
You're Annie?
If you know what movie that is, be calling number 6-913-576-7610, and you're the winner of the MVP golf cart. Coming up a little bit, we'll tell you the movie, and we will make the case for Tyreek Hill getting a 2, 4, and 6-game suspension. We'll do that next. Coming up, it's The Drive.
The Drive. Week
weekdays, 2 to 6.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.